Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equipped. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? Would you help us finish this month strong? Just call 888-644-4144 or give at equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equipped with Chris Brooks. I'm so thrilled that you've joined me today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There are certain programs that I come to, not simply as a radio host, but also as a parent, and such is today's program. I want to help parents and grandparents who have kids who are living with gender confusion. It seems to be ubiquitous. If you're not careful, you'll become prey to the amount of gender deception and gender propaganda that is marked by our day. It was recently that we all celebrated Women's History Month, which I think is a great way of celebrating the Imago Dei that God has blessed women to have, along with men, to celebrate God's unique wisdom in his binary creation of humanity as male and female, and to be able to celebrate the amazing contributions as Christians that women have made to culture and to the church and the advancement of the gospel. I don't think we can talk about that enough. Certainly Scripture does. But it is also a time that we should be aware of that we live in, where the backdrop of this moment is a culture that seems to have come to a place where it lacks the ability to even define what a woman is. And for those of us who are over the age of 40, it is hard to believe that we have even arrived to this point. But there's so many examples and exhibits that we have, in fact, arrived at a point where those things that seem to be foundational now are up for debate. It was just a few days ago, short days ago, when the First Lady of our country, Jill Biden, hosted an award ceremony to honor what she entitled Heroic and Culture-Changing Women. Of the 11 award recipients, one was a biological male from Argentina, a male who had chosen to take on the identity of a woman and of the billions of women that occupy this planet, was one of 11 who received an award that should have been rightfully reserved for a biological woman. The modern sexual revolution has brought us to a place of unprecedented confusion. So how do we protect our children from the gender lie? Well, I'd be doing you a disservice if we did not talk about this. And I'm grateful to have a resource that I can recommend for you that will equip you to be able to identify the gender lie and to be able to protect your children. We're going to take your calls today at 877-548-3675. That's 877-LIVE-675. If this is you, if you're the parent or the grandparent of a child who's struggling with gender identity, we'd love to pray with you to give you wisdom on how to properly protect them and shepherd their souls. Today we're going to look at a resource entitled Exposing the Gender Lie, How to Protect Children and Teens from the Transgender Industry's False Ideology. Joining me today is a good friend of the program, Dr. Jeff Myers. Jeff, as you know, is the president of Summit Ministries, which equips and supports a rising generation to embrace God's truth and to become champions of the biblical worldview. Dr. Jeff is America's foremost respected authority on youth development culture. He's the author of 14 books, and his most recent, Exposing the Gender Lie, was written and contribution and co-written with Brandon Showalter as well from the Christian Post. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm great, Chris. Thank you for tackling such a difficult topic, but wow, is it ever time for Christians to understand what's going on?
Yeah, and in many ways, beyond time, Jeff. There are so many places that I want to go that I think are important, but let's just start with the basic question. How did we get here, Jeff?
Chris, it's an old saying that what's taught in the classroom in one generation will be believed and practiced in government and in society in the next generation. Probably three decades ago, maybe more, in the academic world, it became popular to say that truth isn't something that exists objectively and independently of us, but that each one of us decides our own truth. So you don't seek the truth, you speak your truth, which is a common terminology that people today use. That if truth exists, it can't be discovered by us. So words don't refer to anything real, they just define ourselves. So we socially construct our own reality. And then people began to think, okay, well, that's interesting in regard to personal morality. That sounds convenient. But then the people who were doing this in the universities said, no, no, that's not enough. We're going to apply it to everything. We're going to tear down all of your conceptions about reality, including the relevance of male and female. It took decades for this to rise to the surface, but now it has.
Well, you just said it. What's taught in the classroom, so many have maybe been asleep at the wheel until this current tidal wave, the tsunami, if you will, has really overtaken us. And it seems like in every corner of society, there's no escaping it. We really have seen a unique targeting of adolescent children, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Well, the number of young people who identify as transgender has doubled just in the last year or so. If you look at TikTok, which is a popular social media app for young adults, the hashtag trans has 50.2 billion views. This has tripled just within the last few years. 39% of young people now say they identify as LGBTQ. And so for young adults, they think of trans as being above. They're above gender. They're superior. They're enlightened by rejecting their maleness or femaleness. And to be honest, Chris, you were talking about the celebration of women earlier. There are a lot of young women who feel threatened by their sexuality in a culture that's guided more by the sexual revolution than it is by biblical truth. And in a pornified culture, it can be very difficult to be a young woman who is moving into womanhood. So if they don't have strong guidance to accept what's happening to them in puberty is a good thing, a blossoming of their potential, they feel vulnerable and think, maybe it would be better if I were a boy.
Yeah, I love to just talk about this because so often we do get to, in many ways, the symptom without getting to the source. The source of the problem in many ways is a rejection of God, a rejection of God's moral law. When we think of what happens to any culture or society, the subjugation of women, the abuse of women so often is the byproduct of that. Obviously, that type of abuse, subjectifying women, objectifying women, that produces in many ways this type of nonconformist desire or appetite, which paves the way for the gender lie. And we're seeing that. So in many ways, this rejection of God's moral law and God is at the root of it. Talk a little bit about that, Jeff.
Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you see that human beings are made in God's image. We all appreciate that and expect that. We all expect to be treated as if we have value. But right after that, Scripture says that God made them male and female. Jesus affirmed this. He said, haven't you read that God made them male and female? So humans are dimorphous. This is simply a biological fact. There are 6,500 cataloged biological differences between males and females. It's not simply a matter of your secondary sex characteristics. So your biology and the theology of Genesis chapter 1 intertwine in a beautiful way. I think what we sometimes see is that people say, okay, let's just take the theology out of it. And let's only think yes. about what we as human beings, as a society, want to do. And that's where you end up in trouble. You end up with sort of a materialist view. Only my body exists. And since my sexual impulses are my primary impulses, then those should govern my life.
You know, it's really interesting, Jeff, because it seems to me that one of the things that we who are older, and I keep referring to older than, let's say, 40, one of the things that is a game changer for us is we're used to an atheistic movement that is based off of an elevation of science, that science somehow would supplant the need of God, the kind of Richard Dawkins type of atheism, the Stephen Hawking's type of atheism. But this is a different type of expression. This is a rejection of God that also rejects biology, that in this area, at least, says, I am not my body. And we need to shift in our understanding, don't we?
Yes. Well, yes, we do. So we talked earlier in an earlier broadcast about my book, Truth Changes Everything. And we talked about how the balance is tipped to where the majority of people now believe that what works for them and what they feel is best for themselves is the only thing they can know to be true. Mm. That's applying in this situation in spades. And the unfortunate thing is that it's developed into an industry and into an ideology that is now targeting children. States, a lot of states are trying to figure out what to do about it. But this isn't just about confused kids. Children have always struggled with identity. The identity struggle in adolescence is something that every human society has tried to deal with. But what's happened now is that people have said all of those struggles are gender struggles at their core. And your gender, how you feel about yourself, is more important than what's actually real in the real world.
So let's just ask this question. Is this a reflection of the overwhelming percentage of Americans wanting to see this taught to children at a young age, or is something happening that seems to contradict the polling?
That's a very perceptive question. So Summit Ministries, as you mentioned, we are focused on equipping and supporting this rising generation to embrace God's truth. So we do a lot of polling just so we can understand the cultural moment. The vast majority of Americans, I'm talking 70%, 80%, 90% on some questions, reject the transgender ideology. They do not think it's a good thing to expose children to transgenderism in school. They think it's a horrible idea. In fact, only 9% of Americans say they support permanent gender alteration for minors. 9%. So, you know, 91% don't support that. But you're in a situation, Chris, where it's become so politicized. The transgender ideology developed long before there was any evidence. Okay? The research is almost non-existent in this, and none of it has been done in a medically accepted way. It's just trying to confirm an ideology, and at the core of that ideology is you need to get children to the place where boys and girls can look at each other and say there is no difference, and then you can get them to believe anything, and they'll be open for whatever ideology you want to give them.
This movement to an androgynous society, a genderless society, is coming to a head, but it is not new, and it is something that Scripture lays out clearly a distinction and equips us to be able to protect ourselves, our own hearts, and the hearts of our children from the multiplied harms that come along with this ideology. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk about the harm of transgender ideologies. And we'll also give Jeff the opportunity to lay out some wisdom on how we can protect our children. As I said earlier, I come to this moment not simply as a radio host or a podcaster. I come to this moment as a parent. And maybe you're a parent or a grandparent listening as well, and you've been wondering, where can I turn for wisdom? Where can I get equipped to have the conversation, to know how to be proactive and not just responsive. Well, that's why today I want to encourage you to access a free download of Jeff's book. You can go to our website to find out more at equipradio.org. This is a very special edition of Equip. We're discussing exposing the gender lie. We'll be right back right after this. Author Colleen Chow knows what it means to suffer and to endure that suffering with Christ. She shares that wisdom with you through her book, In the Hands of a Fiercely Tender God. With her trademark combination of wit and wisdom, she'll teach you how to hold on through suffering to the one who suffers with you. Request your copy of this devotional when you support Equip this month. Simply call 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org. Welcome back. Phone number 877-548-3675. That's 877-LIVE-675. Today, if we could be a prayer partner with you for your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, as they live through the gender confusion of our day, the sexual confusion of our day, we'd love to pray with you for their own hearts and understanding. If we can help to answer questions for you on how to protect your children from the transgender industry's false ideology, we'd love to do that as well. Phone number again, 877-548-3675. Today, my guest is Dr. Jeff Myers. Dr. Myers, talk a little bit, if you will, about what's happened to the counseling industry as well. I mean, so many counselors who would be here in years gone by to help to identify dysphoria, to help to correct thinking in areas where false impressions, false understandings and identities have been developed, have been muted in many ways.
Well, there's so much to unwind there, Chris. 20 states have laws that prohibit what's called conversion therapy. And in those laws, it's specifically stated, well, in the state of Colorado, I haven't looked at all 20 of the states, but in the state of Colorado, if you have someone who is, say, a male, but feels to female, it has a gender identity that is at odds with biological sex, then you must engage in what's called gender-affirming care. And for therapists, that means you must encourage this person, if they want a new name, think of new pronouns, counsel their family, not them. The family, if they don't accept this, is the agent that's in the wrong. And if you fail to do this, your license could actually be at risk. Now, of course, there's a deeper issue, Chris. Virtually all of the young adults that I've worked with who are struggling with their gender identity have underlying issues, anxiety, depression, unresolved childhood trauma, core needs that have not been met, all of those things. And that all gets skipped over with gender-affirming care. If someone comes in and the symptom they say is that they don't identify with their biological sex anymore, the therapists start by working with that and skip over very often those underlying issues that cause the problem. Well, yeah. The worst part of this, Chris, and there's so much more to it, but it becomes medicalized. So the standards of care that medical professionals use insist that the next natural step after changing their identity socially is to get them involved medically, puberty-blocking drugs, cross-sex hormones, and ultimately surgery. That is the natural choreographed course of treatment.
You know, it's interesting because for so many, it seems to be just common sense. For example, I'm 46 years old as we speak today. Jeff, if I woke up and I say, you know what, and so often you say this, you know, I feel like I'm 20, you know, feel like I'm 20 again, which I hope that every 46-year-old feels that way. hopefully you feel healthy and strong. But if I were to try to sign documents, official legal documents stating that I was a 20-year-old, I'd be held as being liable for falsifying documents and information. Why does it not hold in gender what seems to hold in every other area of our lives?
Well, Chris, there has been an ideology at play for several decades now. In the medical field, people are just now figuring out, oh, well, if there's a child who's gender dysphoric, then they're going to be medicalized. This is a huge shock. When did this happen? 2022? 2021? No, it actually happened in 2009. Way back then, transgender activists realized if we want to completely change the culture, then we've got to take over the medical standards. We've got to change the way these documents and doctors and so forth put all of this together so that they will be required to do things the way that we want them to or else be legally liable. Other areas of life, transgender clinics began to develop. Those transgender clinics then went to schools and said, you might have children who are transgender. We're going to counsel you on what you do. And lo and behold, they always counsel them to send them to a gender clinic where they can undergo a medicalization. You see, all of this goes back to the idea that we decide for ourselves what is true and that we're not obligated to respect actual reality. In fact, this is a situation in which the rising generation has come to believe that the denial of objective reality is actually a positive social good.
You know, but this isn't the first time we've been deceived this way. I was talking to Dr. John Perkins, someone who we both admire, great civil rights leader who is 93 years young today, loves Jesus, and speaks so eloquently about how the gospel is our solution to the racial gridlock of our moment. But in an interview that I did with him, he shared that, Chris, the country undertook such great expense to convince me of the lie of superiority and inferiority. Just think about the cost of racism, the cost of having to build an entirely separate plumbing system for a city or a community so that whites can drink from one water fountain, blacks can drink from another. The cost of having to build entirely separate and segregated housing, education, the list goes on and on and on. It's extremely expensive. But you talk about the medical interventions of this moment, such as blockers, hormones, surgery producing changes, all of these things to circumvent the biology that is in our very DNA. All of this being done to convince us of something we know not to be true.
You're right. There's a huge expense involved. So if your child says, I've got a boy's body, but I think I'm a girl, and you go to a gender clinic, they'll eventually move you, if the child continues to feel uncomfortable, toward medicalization. So let's say it's a prepubescent child. They will prescribe puberty blockers. And these puberty blockers, usually it'd be something like Lupron, which is used to treat prostate cancer in men, endometriosis in women, and it's very effective for that. But it can be used off-label, this is not FDA approved, for children to prevent them from going through puberty, which has all kinds of horrible side effects. And the cost, probably about $30,000 a year. This is why in the transgender standards of care, transgender medicine is listed as quote-unquote medically necessary. It is medically necessary for these children to undergo these procedures. Why is that so important? Because if it's medically necessary, then Medicare, Medicaid, insurance all have to pay for it. And then it opens up a whole new market. So pharmaceutical companies and the medical industry intend to make billions, if not tens of billions of dollars, off of this kind of abuse of children.
Let's go to Becky, who's in Minnesota, with a comment. Hey, Becky, thank you so much for listening to Equip. What's your comment today?
Hey, Chris, it's good to talk to you. I just wanted to say I was attending my book club a couple weeks ago, and one of the women I'm there with, her daughter is going through psychology courses right now to be a psychologist, and they told her that there is proof that you can be transgender or gay or one of the other many, many different things that people think they are nowadays. But they are teaching that there is proof when you're born.
You broke up a little bit there, Betsy, but I appreciate your comment. I think what she's getting at now is for so long we argued that this is not something you're born with. This is a behavioral choice. And now, as we would expect, scientific research is being manipulated in a way that seems to try to justify this type of thinking as being tied to our birth. But the Bible tells us that we are born with a sin nature, every one of us needing to be redeemed. How do we protect our children from the gender lie that's being told to a generation? Jeff will take us further in this discussion on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. Much more to come next up on Equip. Friends, I want to take a moment to invite you to our next Equipper Zoom webinar coming up on Thursday, April 20th, right after the program. We all face a battle with Satan. The Apostle Paul said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's why this webinar will focus on what every Christian needs to know about Satan, understanding spiritual warfare. Equippers, look for an email from me with registration details for this free interactive webinar. Now, if you're not an Equipper and want to attend, become a monthly partner today by calling 888-644-4144 or online at equipradio.org. We greatly appreciate your support here at Equip. We couldn't make it without you. The fact that you support us prayerfully and financially is what enables us to be here each and every day to equip Christians to more effectively live, share, and defend their faith. We're committed to doing that. If there's a way that we can be a blessing to you, please let us know. We continue to pray for your spiritual growth, your effectiveness in sharing your faith and your local community with those that you love. We also petition you to stand with us. If we've been a blessing to you, please call today, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Your most generous financial contribution to Equip allows us to continue to take on the tough issues of our day with relevant and biblical answers. So please financially support the program at 888-644-4144. Or go to equipradio.org. That's 888-644-4144 or equipradio.org. Jeff Myers is my guest today. We're talking about his newest book, Exposing the Gender Lie, How to Protect Children and Teens from the Transgender Industry's False Ideology. Jeff, you made this book a free downloadable book. Why was that important for you?
Chris, the issue is so urgent that I didn't want to wait to go through the long process that it takes. You've written books, and you know sometimes it takes a year before the information can be available, and then it's available to people who have the ability to pay for it. I felt like this is so important. We want to get this out immediately. We want people to be able to forward it to their school board officials, to their state legislators, to their members of Congress, to their pastors, because churches have to deal with the issue of transgender. In fact, the church is going to be dealing with the fallout as young people realize that they've maybe even irreversibly harmed themselves in the process of pursuing a biological lie.
Let's talk a little bit, if we could, Jeff, about the solution. We've talked so much about the problem, which I think is well known to so many. So what do you propose we need to begin to do?
Chris, I think there are several steps, and these are ones that parents can take with their children, grandparents, with their grandkids, if the opportunity arises, teachers in the classroom. we start by recognizing that God designed male and female on purpose. There are differences. The biblical view says we don't profit by ignoring the differences, but by harmonizing them, that a healthy, happy, productive society comes from that. And so we go back to Scripture. We don't start with cultural stereotypes, and that's really important. The idea that blue is the color of boys, pink is the color of girls, that's essentially a cultural stereotype. Green and orange don't have gendered meanings. So we move beyond that. We start by recognizing this idea that people have today that gender is a spectrum. On one side is extreme masculinity, the other side is extreme femininity. And so if you're a boy who enjoys things that a lot of girls enjoy, then maybe you're actually a girl. That's all a lie. The biblical idea is there is male and there's female. There are extremely masculine males. There are not so masculine males. And the same with femininity. So it's not the question is your biology or theology coming together and your design is male and female. So helping children recognize that you're not born in the wrong body. I know that in the middle of your life, there's a lot of confusion. Maybe that confusion goes back to your identity, but you are made to bear God's image. You're not born in the wrong body. That's the first step in the process. And we can talk about more, but I just wanted to be sure that was on the table because that's at the heart of a biblical worldview.
And this is something that we can start really, really early sharing with our kids and taking advantage of every opportunity we can to reinforce that in love, in truth, in grace. This is in many ways the proactive part of protecting our children. There are some defensive things we need to do, Jeff, as you highlight in your book, but this is one of those positive, proactive things that we need to do. What do we say to kids when maybe they're in middle school and they're coming home saying, I believe I'm in the wrong body?
Well, one of the core questions, and again, I'm not saying this is counseling advice on the show today. This is just religious instruction. But one of the core questions is, what happened to you that made you feel the way you do? Because very often it's peer pressure. In fact, we found in one study that two-thirds of young women who are being diagnosed as gender dysphoric have had extensive exposure to social media, two-thirds. So this is a social contagion. This is just like, you know, a new product that all of a sudden everybody in the world has to have, and they just feel like they're going to die if they don't have it. It's kind of like that, but more serious. Yes. Because it isn't just about a new shoe that you put on your feet. It's about attempting to do something that's biologically impossible, which is change your gender. So just asking that question, what happened to you that makes you feel the way you do? Is there peer pressure? Are you afraid? Is there something going on? Did a boy hurt you? Or, you know, do you feel that you don't fit in with the others like you and so forth?
It seems to me that there are three great threats to parenting in this particular area. And I'd love for you to share how do we combat the influence of these great competitors to my voice as a parent. So obviously there's the public school system. We've talked about that. The internet is a great competitor to parents because kids more increasingly are looking here for truth and for direction and for answers to big questions. And then there's the celebrity. The voice of celebrities and those public influence makers, if you will. How does a parent or grandparent overcome the massive influence of those three forces, school, internet, social media, obviously, and celebrity?
Well, there's a lot to unwind there, isn't there? This is at the heart of, what every parent is struggling with. There's got to be a way to draw children back from social media. I think this is now a call for parents to limit their children's exposure to social media to have them put their phones in the kitchen when they go to their room. They, you know, don't get to just surf whatever they want, whenever they want. They've got to have some way to draw back from that influence, which seems so incredibly real, but is so transitory. I think there's really a call for parents to have conversations with their kids about the permanent things. You know, celebrity is very fleeting. Somebody who is all over the internet today will be gone tomorrow. Nobody ever heard of them. Someone who's on television today, gone tomorrow. Nobody ever heard of them. Athletes, they're very popular right now. 5 years from now, nobody won't even know who they are. We've got to focus on the permanent things that God has made us in his image, and he never changes, even though culture constantly does. He's the one who grounds us and roots us. And, you know, I've even had that conversation with my kids. I know this seems incredibly overwhelmingly powerful for you right now, but I'm playing the long game here. I want you to have a long, healthy life where you're not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but you have a stability that enables you to be a positive influence in the midst of everything else. A quick story, one of my kids was having nightmares as a child, and we prayed together, and I actually prayed, God, would you help my son become a warrior who stands up against evil things and fights against them and fights on behalf of other people. And he took that on as an identity, Chris, and all the way through his high school years, he was the one who stood up for the little guy. He would find those little kids who were being picked on by others and just take the bully. He didn't fight the bullies. He just said, nope, you're not going to hurt this one. Under my protection. You're not going to hurt him. Changed his whole perspective on being a man.
You know, I love that. And this is an opportunity for a PSA of sorts. Yes, I want you to download Jeff's book. That's why we have it on our website. We have it on our social media pages. It's an urgent, urgent resource that I would encourage you to download today and to encourage others to through your social media channels. But I also want to advocate for daily times of scripture reading with your children, in particular those parents who have young children. You know, I think it was Jonathan Evans, the son of Tony Evans, that I was talking to recently, who said, mold the clay while it's still soft and pliable. Don't wait for it to harden. You know, I'm blessed to have children kind of across the age spectrum. And I will tell you, there's a difference between the busyness of life of a 16-year-old, my daughter, who is getting ready for her senior year of high school and all the things that are going on in her life, and my 9-year-old, who every night is hungry for me to read scripture to him and to discuss with him the things of God's word. And I would just simply say, don't lament over days missed. There may have been times, days, weeks that were missed because of busyness in our own lives or whatever the case may be, but redeem the time. I'm grateful for my parents as well. My mom in particular, every night she's engaging her grandchildren around the word of God in whatever way she can. Every day she's reminding them that she's praying for them. We need parents and grandparents that are proactively doing these things, shaping the hearts and minds of their children and grandchildren with the word of God. I love what Colossians 2:8 says. You have this in your book. It says, see to it that no one take you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. If we can establish early on the authority of the word of God in their lives, if we can establish early on that the teachings of Christ is where truth and grace are found, then so much of the battle will be won. Friends, I got to take a break. When Jeff and I come back, we're going to land this plane in the heart of the gospel, I promise you. But maybe you're listening, and maybe you are not a grandparent or a parent, but just a person who has been processing through your own struggle with gender and identity. And as you listen to Jeff and I, maybe there's a resistance in part, but something, or better yet, someone has prompted you to keep on listening. It's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence. Christ is drawing you to himself. I don't want to encourage you to simply listen to this program to get to know Jeff. I want you to get to know Jesus. If you love to get to know him, to surrender your heart and life to him, dial 877-LIVE-675. We'll be right back. Hey there, friends. Chris Brooks here. You know, you may have recently heard me promoting our next program or even asking you to become a monthly partner, folks that we call Equippers. But today I want to invite you to join something infinitely more important. Would you consider joining the family of God? You know, it may be possible that you've been listening to us talk about the Bible and the Christian life, but you've never really met Jesus personally. He longs to welcome you into his family and have a close relationship with you. You can surrender your life to him, accept his forgiveness, and start your journey with Jesus right now. I'd love to help you to take that first step. All you have to do is give me a call at 877-548-3675. That's 877-548-3675. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Many of you may be aware of the breaking news that's coming out of Nashville. Another school shooting, this time at a Christian school. We are praying as details are unfolding now. Please pray for our friends in Nashville. So many that are part of the Moody Radio family. Please pray for that community as well. Jeff Myers is my guest today. We're talking about his new free downloadable book, entitled Exposing the Gender Lie, How to Protect Children and Teens from Transgender Industry's False Ideology. Jeff, how else can we protect our children?
Well, Chris, I'm mindful of what you just mentioned about the school in Nashville, the Covenant School, and children going to school there, parents taking their children to school this morning, hoping for the start to a new good week. We must recognize that the battles we face are deeply, deeply spiritual. There is an evil that intends to destroy our children, if not physically, then spiritually. And warning against that through prayer is so essential. I think it's also significant to just give a vision to our children. Help them understand that God made them in his image and has a great purpose for their lives. And that's something they can hold on to in the midst of all of the confusion. Give our young men a desire to stand for truth and to fight against evil and injustice. Give our young women a desire to breathe life into others and be the hand of mercy and grace. This is the story of Christians throughout history, and nothing about our current cultural circumstances changes that.
Yes.
We, as Jesus followers, can be those who change the course of history.
That's so good. Such a reminder. We need Christians in every sector of society, and you do so well in helping us to remember that and training up a generation to do that. Let's go to the phone lines in Tampa, Florida. Or Dallas is listening. Or Dallas, how can I pray for you today? Or Dallas, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
How can I pray for you today?
Hi. Thank you so much. So I heard you say we were ready to follow Jesus and needed prayer to call. So any prayer for battling addictions and anxiety?
Well, number one, I'm grateful that you responded to the invitation to make Christ your Lord. And his power in our lives is what transforms us. There are so many things that can come into my life or yours that seem to be far more powerful than just our ability to resist, our own human willpower, if you will. You don't need more earthly power. You need divine power, supernatural power. And the Bible says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so, Ordalis, today, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you have faith that he is Lord, as the Bible declares him to be, and if today you want to turn from your sins and turn to Christ, he will save you. Is that your desire, Ordalis?
Yes, it is.
I just want you to pray with me. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Today I invite you to be Lord of my life.
Today I invite you to be Lord of my life.
I surrender my heart to you.
I surrender my heart to you.
I ask you to take control of every part of me.
I ask you to take control of every part of me.
I acknowledge you as my Savior and my Lord.
I acknowledge you as my Savior and my Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, I pray for Ordalis. I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of transformation and life change for her. I pray that you would free her from the power of addiction, that you would give her new life. You make all things new. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ordalis, stay on the line. Our producer is going to give you some information about how you could take your next step in your journey with Jesus. And please know that it's not just me praying for you, but many that are listening are praying for you today. God bless you. Jeff, I thank you for joining me. What an awesome moment. What a reminder that ultimately all that we do is to point people to Christ. Jeff, thank you for the book. Thanks for making it free, for your urgency, for your passion for the next generation, for equipping parents as well. We're going to continue to pray for you and for Summit Ministries, brother.
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate everything that you've done for the kingdom and to help this rising generation. There is power in his name, and God is moving in our time.
Friends, so good to be with you. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, to ministry of Moody Bible Institute.